You can have the best product, the best process. If you don't have the right people in the right role, you will not succeed. Challenging the status quo is what I typically try to do. So, and that's what we did at Airbnb. The most impactful way to drive productivity and success in an organization is by working in HR, because you're impacting the whole organization versus one function. This translates to the new world of Gen AI as well, which is we can use it. And if we use it right, it will just empower us to work on more complex situations.
Welcome back to Future Work, the podcast about a happier future of work and the role of technology and humans within that. Today, I have a dynamic discussion with Q Hamerani, an influential figure in the HR and remote work sphere. He is known for his groundbreaking work at Airbnb and his current role as the Chief People Officer at EdTech Unicorn Paper. Discover the implications of generative AI for HR, how embracing technology can redefine organizational structures and career paths, and why we should never choose the status quo. So let's dive in. Hey Q, thanks so much for being on. I think for everyone to have just a little bit of context, could you just do a quick elevator pitch on your kind of career so far, and especially your very interesting role at Airbnb focusing on remote work?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I know it's long overdue, so excited to connect. Yeah, so my story, I'll try to keep it brief, but I'll start with I studied electrical engineering, and that'll make sense in a minute why I bring it that far back. I studied electrical engineering. I really realized towards the end of my college program that I did not want to sit in a lab by myself. I loved being around people, be it to cause commotion or be it to have fun or be it to build things. Being around people was what energized me. So I started off my career at GE as an operations leader on the manufacturing floor, got kind of the training in operations. I then went on to have the first 5 years of my career post-graduation at a big four called Deloitte, where ironically, I was in the finance transformation space. So I was an engineer who had done operations and was then doing finance at that point. Did that for 5 years and realized I really loved being at the intersection of various functions. At that point, it was finance, operations, people, and technology. Once I realized I wanted to do something more strategy and ops, I went over to Aon for 2 years, did global strategy and ops. And at that point, I had this kind of aha moment in my career, which was you can have the best product, the best process. If you don't have the right people in the right role, you will not succeed. Right. Okay. And I saw this through various global implementations at Deloitte, through my work at Aon, which was all over Europe and Latin America. I was physically in those countries. So what I said in typical fashion, I know nothing about HR, but I love to understand perspectives and people. Let me take a right turn and work in the field of HR. And for me, at that point, I knew operations, I knew technology, and I knew analytics. So I said, that is how I'm going to pave my way into the field of HR. And my operational mindset convinced me up until today that the most impactful way to drive productivity and success in an organization is by working in HR, because you're impacting the whole organization versus one function. So long story short, I applied for a lot of roles in HR, got flat out rejected, because here it was an engineer who knew finance, knew some business in 2008, 2009, didn't know employee relations. Like, well, how is he going to get a job?
Yeah.
So I quit my job at Aon, started my own HR consulting company, specifically focusing on technology, which was, you know, a lot of new HRISs at the time, like work days were coming down. I knew PeopleSoft from my Deloitte days, so that translated. I knew I was very strong on analytics. So people analytics was a buzzword at that point. People didn't really know what it was. So I was like, let me build it. And my operations skill set actually translated to building employee experience processes for scalability and making sure that experience was right in a hyper-growth environment. So back then, employee experience was not even a word, right? That became a word maybe like a decade ago. So that's how I started my career in HR. The last 12, 13 years, I've done every role in HR, done my rounds. I still love it. And most recently, I was at Airbnb for 5 years, where I got the opportunity and privilege to lead a lot of our programs, some pretty unconventional, that brought together all my kind of my crazy right turns in my career, if you will. And it brought it all together. And, you know, for example, the Live and Work Anywhere program that we created at Airbnb was really, it just started off with like, let's incubate an idea. Let's support our employees traveling around the world in a nomadic way while being compliant and making sure the employees understand the liability on themselves. And 15, 16 months later, that turned into our Live and Work Anywhere program, So it's really fun to see how, you know, you just take the right turn, you just try something out, you get the right support. And it sometimes it becomes bigger than you ever would not have even anticipated, like the Live and Work Anywhere program.
Totally.
And most recently, over the last year, I've been at an edtech company called Paper, which is in the education sector, really trying to push for equality in learning opportunities in the public school system in the US. And I have a 3-year-old son who's about to enter the public school system in a few years.
So it's personal.
I didn't grow up in the US. So I was like, very personal, strong mission, relatable. Yeah. And then also, I'm also an executive coach. I've been certified to do that for about 5 years. So I do a lot of executive coaching for founders, CEOs, do some investing, you know, kind of trying to keep my hands dirty in the startup space as well. Because I know I'm not doing a startup because I've done three in the past life. And it's a very different form of stress, but I want to stay close to it. So I do try to do that.
Amazing. Amazing.
That was a long elevator ride. So
we're at the penthouse, but it's good. It's a long career. And thank you for sharing. I think this is so inspiring for, I think, a lot of people to see that sort of like very unconventional path towards where you are now. From that experience at Airbnb, when you switched to Paper, the edtech company you just mentioned, like what are some of the things that you took with you in terms of like things that you've learned in Airbnb that you now wanted to apply at Paper as well? What's their work policy like?
Yeah, so I would say there were a couple of things that I took from Airbnb that just got engraved in my DNA, if you will, after 5 years of being there, which, you know, in startup land, 5 years is pretty, even though Airbnb is not a typical startup, we did operate like one in terms of creativity. I think for me, there were two things. One was the current status quo is just a recommendation and a starting point to what you want to build. So don't take that as what you want to do. In fact, challenging the status quo is what I typically try to do. So, and that's what we did at Airbnb and everything we did from the Live and Work Anywhere program. You know, every company was like, you can do 30 days or 60 days and then turn a blind eye. We had the option to do that, but we picked the option that was harder. And a year later, it just so happened that we found the magical connection that we did not anticipate, which tied it to our business model. And that's where the flywheel started. So essentially, not taking status quo as the status quo, really challenging it and trying to build something that's personal, that's unique to that. That's one. The other piece that still stays with me is how communications, internal and external communications, and PR to some extent in terms of your external brand, are all so tied together. What you tell your employees, how you storytell the right, honest, transparent conversation about where a company is, be it. And to be honest, it's the tough times that define you in these moments, not the good times, right?
Yes.
And we had to unfortunately go through that at Airbnb in May of 2020, where the pandemic literally halted our entire business. We had to do a big layoff, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So really the power of staying very true to honest and transparent communication, but being very intentional about your communication strategy. So at Paper, what that's translated to my learning from Airbnb, I quickly in the first few weeks picked up internal communications as part of the people team. And that was something that was unique to my experience at Airbnb, where internal communication sat in HR. It can sit in a variety of teams depending on where you are. So that was one learning, which actually had an unintended consequence down the line to my earlier point, which was I now own, as of last summer, I also own public relations and external communications, partly because we're still smaller and we didn't have a dedicated focus from a leadership standpoint on it. And partly because of my prior experience of understanding how critical it is. We live in a world today where you cannot tell your employees one thing and expect the streets not to hear it, or tell the streets another thing. Right.
Yeah.
You have to be unified. And that's a good thing. I think that's good pressure to have. So challenging the status quo and the power of internal and external communications on the employee experience is my two learnings that I've taken with me. And again, I took it with me as a starting point and then evolved it and personalized it to what Paper needed, what the right structure was, where the right support was, because it's all about crafting your own playbook at the end of the day, is what I've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting to think about that sort of internal and external. We've talked a lot about, you know, CX is EX, but I haven't really heard that kind of idea of your internal communication and your external communication cannot really be that different, because we live in a very transparent world. It's very hard to kind of like tell this story internally and then externally have a very different story. But these are things that are typically not handled by an HR team, right? So did you have to you know, convince people to kind of see it your way? Or like, how did you bring in this like new perspective that those two things should actually go together?
Yeah, so part of it is because I had experienced how well a well-curated communication strategy on the internal and external front can work really well, because Airbnb was very, very proficient at this. And even though I was not the one orchestrating it, I was the one often on the receiving end of it. So, you know, any initiative we did, from the Live and Work Anywhere program to the layoffs that we did, which was unfortunate, it was all very intentionally curated so that the message externally was what was the reality and not people making it up. The other part of it is, you know, in reality, in the startup world, you see issues in a particular area, you see it's impacting the business, and someone's got to jump in to fix it, right? And when you have limited resources in a startup environment, or even in not a start at Airbnb too, like I would always put my hand up when no one knew like where it should even sit, like should it even sit in HR or not. So part of it is right timing, right opportunity, because you can't time. And a lot of it is you have to feel the pain as an organization to dedicate the resources to it, because once you see that it, you know, it could have an impact that is unintended and not wanted, it's easy to make the case. So it's dependent on, I would say, what resources are already allocated within the org. In this case, it was minimal. And two, we realized that, you know, it is very critical, and then just jumping in and trying it out. And it's always, you know, this has been something that I've been really thankful in my career, and I try to do the same, which is when you jump into these scenarios and, you know, there's a gap that the organization needs fixed, you're jumping in to do it. I've always thankfully had the support of the leaders, including at Airbnb, to say, look, we don't even know how we're going to figure this out, but if you're willing to like figure it out, we'll give you the support, right? Okay. We'll give you the support. My personal philosophy has always been iterating towards greatness. You don't get it right the first time. You fall, you learn, you make mistakes, you come clean to employees, you work through it again, take feedback. So it's all part of like having that right ecosystem to support you as well, because I could have all these ideas, I could put my hand up, but if the organization is like, no, we're going to do things the way we've always done it, you know, that's not going to give me that opportunity either. So it's two ways is what I'm saying. It's me jumping in, the organization feeling some pain in that area, hence the need is articulated pretty clearly. And, you know, then just having the right environment and support system to encourage that.
Yeah, incredible. I also want to dive into a little bit the technology side, right? So you mentioned that like from very early on, you had experience in technology, eventually going into areas that only later on became more mainstream. Yeah. Like what was your approach to technology within the realm of HR in when you started at Paper?
Yeah, so my approach to technology, or my philosophy to technology, has always been that technology can help empower all of us to do with less. But when I say do more with less, it's also do more complicated, do more intentional work that needs the human complex mind to process. In HR specifically, to your point, there is always a level of intuition and reading the room and making sure that you are factoring it, that different people will react differently. Different things may land on people differently, because it's always a combination of what's going on in their personal lives, what's going on at work. So for me, I've always approached it with, I love technology. I'm a big fan of it because I guess I'm a tech geek at heart, but it's always twofold. And this translates to the new world of Gen AI as well, which is we can use it. And if we use it right, it will just empower us to work on more complex situation, which is stimulating for someone like myself, because you can get pretty bored if you're doing the same thing. But in HR, it's always a combination of technology with human in the loop. So obviously, like some processes, you can automate it, like creating a requisition in Workday. Heck, even I don't like enjoy doing that. So yeah, let it get automated. But figuring out, is that the right role that's needed in your organization based on, for example, the pains the organization is feeling or where the organization wants to go? Like technology is not going to do 100% of that for you. It's going to do 90%, maybe 70%, depending on the process that you're looking at. So my philosophy has always been embrace it. If we can embrace it, and it can give us, in some cases, make our lives more challenging and easier. So if it's automating a process, for example, we can do things that are more stimulating. But in some cases, it can also drive insights for us, right? So it's helping us, like when you look at people analytics and you look at kind of different data sets that you have, and you start marrying up all multidimensional reporting, like it's empowering us to be smarter. It's empowering us to have better insights that we would not have had if we didn't use technology in the right way. So I think technology is always been from the start for me more like a friend or a co-pilot in today's terminology that's used a lot. And you have to like guide it. And it's more, I think, critical and important in the field of HR.
I'm just curious, like, do you think it typically should sit within HR, the kind of like the decision making around like what technology to use within a company and which kind of like systems to use? Does it sit within HR? Because I know from speaking to a lot of people that there are, you know, many HRs who would basically say, you know, let the HR IT figure that out, or let someone else figure it out in the organization. So what's the role between the people teams and...
Yeah, so I would say it's twofold. And I talk about technology in two dimensions. One is HR technology, and one is more what I would call IT technology in the realm of collaboration tools, right? Like what all tools are you using? So if we unpack the first one, which is HR technology, I've been in organizations like Paper and pre-Airbnb where they sat in HR, and that was fine. At Airbnb, the HR technology team sat in IT. But my point here is it doesn't matter. You have to be tied to the hip. You have to build that relationship. You're all marching on the same kind of journey. It's kind of like payroll, right? Like payroll sat under HR at some of my past companies, and a lot of companies, including the ones I work at and at Airbnb, it was in finance. It doesn't matter where it sits. You got to be on the same page, right? So it's the partnership and collaboration. But I personally believe that it is dependent on the resourcing you have. So if you have the right resourcing, it should sit in HR. You just have one less layer of contextual translation that you need to do, because when it sits in IT, there's always, it's a trade-off, right? Like everything. If it sits in IT, you might get more resourcing, right?
Yeah.
But you may need to explain the contextualization of what you're trying to achieve from a people program. I personally think it's good sitting in HR because you control it, and then you have no one to blame as well, right? Like you are your master of your own destiny. But really quick on the collaboration tools, I think that's a really interesting one to unpack probably for a later day, but I'll give you my high level thoughts on that. I think it's really, really important for HR or people leaders to be very opinionated and influence what collaboration tools are being given across the organization by IT typically. And what I mean by that is, you know, I've been at organizations like Airbnb, for example. We had Google Chat, we had Slack, we had email, we had text messages blowing up. I can't even think of another medium, but it feels like there were like a lot, but that is a lot already.
Yeah.
At Paper, we basically everything is just Slack, right? So I think by helping share your opinions on how ways of working can impact the culture of an organization, because to me, your operating system between your people is kind of the interconnectivity tissue to build culture, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really important for people leaders to weigh in when they see there is no clear ways of working because technology is not enabling it and help influence that. So that's how I would look at the HR technology. I would say, sit with HR. You can't blame anyone. It's on you. You embrace it. You deal with the pains, because sometimes also when it's with a different group, you think everything's easy and you just tell the group to do it, but you really need to understand that. And people analytics is a subset of that, right? Like that's technology in my view. And for the broader collaboration, just be opinionated, help kind of drive what you think will drive better ways of working. Because at the end of the day, that's what people leaders are here to do is productivity and make sure people are happy, but they're happy, the byproduct of that is they're productive.
Yes, yes.
And they're not overwhelmed all the time with multiple channels of communication.
Right, and actually like that part of the technology, it does influence a lot about how people feel about work, right? Because like you said, like if you have all these different communication channels going on, especially if you work with somewhat older legacy platforms, it can really impact the employee experience, and you kind of feel like, oh, I'm working for a very outdated company, or you hear stories of people who are working with better platforms, you know, like, why not us? And so in that particular case, like you are really advocating, at least within your company, for kind of centralizing and making sure that like, you know, work happens in this case within Slack. Is that something that you would advise most companies to really look at more of like a centralization strategy? Or do you think that like individual vendors and individual platforms can still play a role even within something like online collaboration?
So I would say in terms of like communication mediums, I would strongly suggest, having seen both now, to anchor to one form of communication as your primary form of communication. I guess one is hard, maybe two, because email is never going to go away, right? So you have email and Slack, for example, in our case. You know, I'm not advocating for just using Slack. Like, I'm indifferent. It could be Teams, it could be GChat, whatever the company is comfortable using. But my point here is it should be consolidated for communication mediums, because then everything's in one place. You don't have multiple conversations going on in different mediums. Yes. So that's, I think, in terms of general service delivery is what I would put that is. I would also say this is a tough one to crack because of politics in organizations, which is just the reality of it. But I would say making sure things like ticketing tools are consolidated, because I've worked at companies where there's multiple knowledge bases. One team uses Google Sites, one team uses Notion, one team uses their own homegrown thing. And, you know, and then also for G&A functions, ticketing for HR will be in one tool, ticketing for finance will be in another tool. And right away, we're fragmenting the employee experience because an employee doesn't know where to go. And if they go somewhere, they can't find it. And, you know, so I would say it's unifying communication mediums and service delivery is in the best interest of people, leaders to push and fight for. Because at the end of the day, that is how the culture is going to get built, with how people feel, how people can get information, how they can interact with each other. And, you know, I think obviously we live in a world today where remote work is significantly higher than it was pre-pandemic, even if not everyone has adopted it. And that makes it that much more important to focus.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because the more remote that we work, the more that really those digital tools are the interface to the company, and maybe to a degree they kind of feel like they are the company. And I think there's a really good point, and that links to our topic about AI, in terms of something as simple as knowledge bases, right? If everyone is on different platforms, it's going to be really hard to get a holistic view of what does this organization know, right? Like, what is the knowledge that we have together? So let's actually jump into that topic, right? Because I know that you also founded a new community called the People GPT. So maybe you can share a little bit your view on AI, generative AI, and how this is going to impact organizations.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think Gen AI, we're still all figuring it out. So that's the first point to note, which is really unique for HR, right? Being in this profession, because normally HR is looked on as the go-to for upskilling and making sure employees get all the right skills. And in this case, we're all figuring it out together. So with that caveat or laying that stage, I do think Gen AI, the deeper I've got into it in the last 6 months and peeled under the hood, I think the impact to the organization is so vast. And what I mean by that is it's across the board. So, you know, we can decouple this into two pieces. One, the impact on HR internally is huge, because not only can you, you know, you can have a job, the simplest, easiest example is just you can write a job description like within a few minutes with Gen AI, and it would be, and it comes out pretty, pretty beautifully, right? So so that's just one example, in addition to several use cases in recruiting and automation, all that fun stuff. I think the real aha moment I had with Gen AI was how it can impact HR business partnering with the entire organization, because every function, in some more than others, is going to go through a transformation on how the people do their work, and in turn, how the organizational is designed within that team based on how much Gen AI can be used. So for example, you know, sales and content and marketing seem to be the ones that will have a lot of impact, but that doesn't mean engineering is not going to have an impact, right? A very simple use case that I've talked about or worked through is, you know, if we have four, this is an example, it's not true, but say an organization has four engineers to code in four different languages or platforms, right? Tomorrow, we may need one engineer because Gen AI can translate the Python code and whatever SQL, you know, whichever languages you need it on. So to me, if you have less entry-level engineers, because now the tool can help duplicate it or replicate it, that means you need less middle managers, because the middle managers were managing a large workforce. So right away there, it's like, okay, you'll have less junior engineers in this example, less middle layers, but I do think you'll need to have more senior folks, because they will need to figure out the architecture. Like, I've not programmed in a long time, but I tried playing with it and I created Python code for something I was playing with. And I had no idea if it was right or wrong, right? You need an engineer who knows. So it's not going to replace the human completely, is my point. But that's just an example of what is the future of the organizational design for that engineering team. Right? Is it going to be flat now because we don't have so many people and we don't have so many middle managers? And then the million-dollar question is, how do you retain, how do you promote growth, how do you provide that career ladder when the organization is relatively flatter? So the all our people programs need to be reassessed. How do you manage performance when you don't have middle layers and you're now doing it at different layers, right? So I think the impact is so broad. And as you can tell from our conversation, it's not all figured out, which is the exciting part of where we are in our journey, but also, you know, some would say the scary part, but, you know, it's an opportunity. So to answer your question, I think Gen AI, especially for HR, is going to be a really fun but challenging time. Because A, we're figuring stuff out with the rest of the organization and the world in terms of the real impacts. And B, we're going to need to support every single organization with every single function within our organization in some form or the other to adapt it, be it organizational design, be it safety, be it policy. That's why I started the Community People's GPT, because to our initial elevator pitch, I entered the field of HR because I had that technology mindset. So I jumped into the technology piece, and that worked out to my benefit because in the last decade, technology is really advanced. I don't think that's the natural comfort zone for a lot of people, leaders, not grown up in a technology centric or geeky way like I have. So the whole point of the community is let's bring each other along. I know you're part of it. You share some amazing research as well as all the stuff you're doing. Because collectively, we can learn from each other. It's less about, I know I don't know most of it stuff, but I know people are working on cool stuff. So hoping that that can be a small part that we can play in helping the function really understand the impacts in a simplified way so that we can all be better HR professionals through our career.
I really want to speak to that point of the kind of the anxiety and kind of like the stress around technology, because I do think that obviously we are in this world and we speak to a lot of other chief people officers and CHROs, and there really is a lot of kind of unease around now yet another technology that they have to understand. And I think you just made a great point, Q, around how you're talking to people in the business that are maybe also looking at you to kind of understand the major implications on workforce planning, for example, right? One of the topics that came up in the community. And then you look at something like, you mentioned the example of engineering, you could say the same for a sales organization, right? Where basically you need maybe less SDRs because a lot of that work can be automated. Therefore, you need more people who then actually take the human conversation. That totally changes how you do sales, right? So how can HRs, especially, you know, those who are maybe a little bit less comfortable with technology, like how can they understand at least the basics of this so they can have those conversations with the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to do it is just jump into it, right? So, you know, there's a lot of good work, even including your organization that's putting out, I think you guys recently put out the top 150 or top 100 Gen AI applications, which is a great way. I mean, look, my point here is there's no easy way to just wait for it. You got to jump into it. You got to want to understand it. There's a lot, like I watched hours of YouTube videos. There's a lot of good content out there that simplifies things. I think every HR professional needs to jump into it and find their entry points, right? For some, it may be the community we've started and we're helping, simplify things. For some, it may be YouTube, whatever the medium is. But don't wait, because at the end of the day, I don't think AI is going to replace our jobs. I think what's going to replace our jobs is humans that understand how to use AI are going to replace other humans' jobs. Yeah. So don't sit on the sideline, jump into it. You know, I can't tell you, I've spoken to quite a few people who've not even used ChatGPT at all. And, you know, I think sometimes it's just a matter of sitting down with them. I sat with one friend for 10 minutes, you know, opened up ChatGPT and I said, ask it to do a job description, ask it anything. And the rest, then he was down his own rabbit hole, right? So I think you need that entry point, jump into it, find the right way that you can learn, because, you know, otherwise it's not going to come just to you. And I would say the other point on that, in the spirit of learning and jumping in, is also see what function within your organization is already using Gen AI and try to lean on that. So I had, I think, an organization I heard of that you know, their customer experience is using Gen AI for servicing their customers, which is a pretty common use case. The HR team actually jumped on that to see how they could implement that into servicing employees, right? But to do that, they got a little crash course on what it really is. So if you have, I mean, almost every organization today, I would hope or think pretty soon is dabbling with Gen AI in some form or the other. Like Paper, it's an ed tech company, but we do tutoring and we're using humans in the loop, but Gen AI is helping us with a lot of the tutoring efforts, right?
Yeah.
So pick on that function that's doing it if you don't know where to start and ask, you know, maybe do a lunch and learn or maybe
have
knowledge sharing. So tap into your own existing networks or find, you know, or seek out mediums that are comfortable for you to digest content, be it a podcast, be it a video. There's tons of content out there today. So be proactive and be willing to jump into it. And all I can say is after playing with it for a while, this seems to me like in my like 20 plus year career, the easiest technology to understand only because it's so conversational. It's crazy. It's like me talking to you and I'm literally feel like I'm cloning friends and talking to friends and they're spitting out stuff that, you know, is pretty crazy. Obviously proceed with caution, especially when you're doing things like, you know, there's great, you know, I'm not sure if this is put a disclaimer before I say this, but, you know, it's also great for providing legal advice, but it doesn't mean I act on it completely. You got to do some sanity checks, but it's amazing. It's so conversational. It's so easy. Just try it out and the rest will be history is almost a guarantee from my own experience, I would say.
I think you really hit it with that idea of this is probably the most human technology that has ever been invented. So if there was ever a technology that is easy to pick up, it's this one. And I think that idea, that very practical kind of idea of just go to someone in your organization or a team in your organization that's already using it, learn from that, but then also use that, spotlight them towards the rest of the organization to say, here's a great use case. How can we all be more like them? What can we learn from them? How could you implement it in your team? Because sometimes it may feel just a little bit too far from our daily reality. So if we see in our companies that another team is already using it, that may just be what people need to kind of think, wait, if they can use it for that, we can use it for that. So I think that's a great and practical.
It makes it more relatable, right? It makes it more relatable and it's in your same realm, so you feel comfortable as well.
Absolutely. Okay, I think that was a super good call to action at the end of our talk today. Thanks so much for being on. And definitely we'll have to do a part 2, 3, 4, 5 and until 1,000. Okay, Q. Thanks so much. Cheers.
So that's it for my conversation with Q Hamerani, the Chief People Officer at EdTech Unicorn Paper. Here are 4 takeaways to apply as a leader. Number 1. Embrace and drive change. Q underscores the importance of challenging the status quo and actively seeking ways to improve and innovate. As employee engagement is still at record low levels, encourage your team to question existing processes and to explore new ideas that could just lead to the development of pioneering programs like Airbnb's Work Anywhere initiative. Number 2. Strategic integration of technology in HR. As Q says, in HR, it's always a combination of technology with humans in the loop. Use technology to free you up to do more interesting and complex work. This goes beyond automating routine tasks to leveraging advanced technologies like generative AI for more strategic purposes, like enhancing decision-making, improving employee engagement, and personalizing the employee experience. As leaders, fostering a culture that embraces technology will be key to staying competitive and efficient. Choosing the right technology. Whether it's HR technology or IT technology like collaboration tools, you have to be tied to the hip as HR leaders because these platforms deeply influence the employee experience. As Q said, it's important for HR and people leaders to be very opinionated and influence what collaboration tools are being given across the organization by IT. Q is also a big advocate of centralizing onto one platform, especially for communication and knowledge management, and especially in remote companies where those platforms become the employee experience. And finally, navigating generative AI. If you feel a bit behind on AI, you're definitely not alone. This conversation reminded me that we're all still figuring it out. And one thing is for sure, there is still a lot to figure out. For example, in workforce planning, as AI can now do the job of one or multiple people on a given team, and we need less managers.
So everyone, including HR, needs to jump in and get familiar with AI. Plus, there may be some teams in your organization who are using AI actively, so why not spotlight them to the rest of the company so you can all learn together? As people leaders, your stewardship in these areas will shape the future of work within your organization. Q's insights remind us that the path to innovation and success is paved with curiosity, courage, and a commitment to putting people at the heart of everything we do, even when it relates to new technology like generative AI. Join me again next week with guest Anthony Onesto, the Chief People Officer at Suzy and an advisor to ADP and Lattice, who knows more than anyone about the role of people technology in modern companies. Subscribe for updates at flexos.org/futurework.